And Holy God, we have so much to be thankful for. And so we bless your name. We thank you that you are in our midst by your Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you here this day. Speak a word for us. Speak a word of hope and a word of peace. Speak, Lord, because we're listening. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength, you are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And as I was praying, this came to mind. I did not mean to say this today, but it came to mind. Last week, Sunday, we went for our ecumenical service, and we had a nice group of us who went. Some folks from here came. And the priest Vigara from the Episcopal Church would bring the sermon. And when he got up to speak, we forget how blessed we are and how much we should be thankful until we are reminded of somebody's story. He got up to speak, and I had breakfast with him several times. He's the newest clergy in our ecumenical circle, and we have had breakfast together once a month, twice a month, our group. And because, you know, the first priest, the priest that I knew, who was here for 12 or 13 years, had passed away. And then he came as a part-time priest. Well, he got up to speak, to begin to preach, and he started with a funny story at the beginning, and then he got into the meat of the matter. And he talked about, it was from the text for last week, he came from the blind, you know, the men, the lepers who were healed, and only one came back to say thank you to Jesus. There were 10 and only one came back. And then he gave his testimony. You could hear a pin drop. And he said that he had been diagnosed with cancer 3 years ago, or 2 years, I think it's 2 or 3 years ago, with cancer. Sometimes we don't want to thank people for what good things are, and people have done good things. Be mindful of it. He says, as he started with the story, he said he had been diagnosed with cancer, I believe it was lung cancer. And he had gone through so many bouts of chemo and radiation, and now he's doing much better. He's cancer-free for 2 years now. But then he said, and do you know that when I was diagnosed, I was petrified, of course. His mother and his father had died of cancer. His two sisters, one brain cancer, one breast cancer, had all died of cancer. All four of them. So when he was diagnosed, he thought, here is the curse of cancer that has come upon him now. But he began to seek God and to seek God's face and to pray. And he said he was luckier than his mother and father and his two sisters, because he is with a good denomination in the sense of he has good health care. Very good health care, that he could get the treatments and all of that, and for the cancer care. And as he spoke that story, you could feel the chill in the room, because he was talking about going back to God and giving thanks to the Lord. Friends, we have a lot to be thankful for. We have an awful lot to be thankful for, and it is good to go back and say thanks to folks. This is what that story was about. When things good that has happened to you, remember to say thanks. Thanks to the Lord, and thanks to those who have seen you through the journey. It's good to give those testimony. That story, I asked him for the homily, and he did send me a copy. And it just changed my life and touched my life, I should say, and made me realize that there's some of the little things that we complain about. All the little things sometimes, and the angst, and we get so anxious and miserable about, is so unimportant. So unimportant. And we should give thanks with a grateful heart. So now my sermon title today is Our Inheritance is Based on Our Service. Our inheritance is based on our service to the Lord. And I read this little reflection that says, caring for the hurting. And it starts, Patricia L. Miller, a former hospital staff person, writes, while at work in the emergency room, I learned to stop crying at the pain around me. Each day it seemed I was becoming insensitive to the people and their needs. 5 years of emergency room exposure had taken its toll, then God intervened. I was taking information for registering a young woman who had overdosed on drugs and had attempted suicide. Her mother sat before me as I typed the information into the computer. The mother was unkempt and bleary-eyed. She had been awakened in the middle of the night by the police to come to the hospital. She could only speak to me in a whisper. Hurry up, I said to myself, as she slowly gave me the information. My impatience was raw as I finished the report and jumped to the machine to copy the medical records. That's when God stopped me at the copy machine. He spoke to my heart so clearly. You didn't even look at her. He repeated it gently. You didn't even look at her. I felt his grief for her and for her daughter, and I bowed my head. I am sorry, Lord. I'm so sorry. I sat down in front of the distraught woman and covered her hands with mine. I looked into her eyes with all the love that God could flood through me and said, I care. Don't give up. She wept and wept. She poured her heart out to me about the years of dealing with a rebellious daughter as a single mother. Finally, she looked up and thanked me, me, the cold-hearted one with no feelings. My attitude changed that night. My Jesus came right into the workplace in spite of rules that tried to keep him out. He came to set me free to care. He gave himself to that woman through me. My God, who so loved the world, broke that self-imposed barrier around my heart. Now he could reach out, not only to me in my pain, but to a lost and hurting woman. And here it is, on this Thanksgiving, we can remember that. Tom Keller, pastor of Redeemer Presbyterian Church in New York, writes, Pastor often here, I work my fingers to the bone in this church, and what thanks do I get? Or is that the way it is? Your service was for thanks? Are you in your right mind? And then he says, servanthood begins where gratitude and applause ends. Servanthood begins where gratitude and applause ends. And Mother Teresa would write, Oh Jesus, grant that even if you are hidden under the unattractive disguise of anger, of crime, or of madness, I may recognize you and say, Jesus, you who suffer, how sweet it is to serve you. You who suffer, how sweet it is to serve you. We are reminded in this text today that we have heard the gospel text about what is expected of us. And so let me begin by a little bit with this text and so that we could see what the Lord is saying. We read in Matthew 25:31, I'll just read a couple of the verses, the judgment of the nations or the sheep and the goats, the separation of the sheep and goats. And it says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of time. Take your inheritance. That's a word that we miss in that text oftentimes. What is our inheritance? And what does it mean to inherit something, right? To inherit means to come into possession or the possession of or receive, especially as a right or a divine portion, an inheritance to receive. And now the Lord is welcoming this person into the kingdom to receive his or her inheritance. And he says, and everyone who was left our brothers or sisters will inherit the kingdom. We see that in Matthew 29. So what is our inheritance? And our inheritance is when we are left something, right? When we are left some of our children are waiting, you know, this is when my parents go, I'll get my inheritance. I'm leaving you something that you didn't work for yourself, you didn't purchase it, you didn't provide for it, but you're getting inheritance. And some of our children are going to be surprised that they won't get any inheritance, because some of us are planning to spend all of our money on ourselves, and they will be surprised. But the act of inheriting is the act of receiving. So thus I'd like to propose to you, what is our inheritance? What is the inheritance Jesus was speaking about here for us? Today is Christ the King Sunday, and it means that for us, when we celebrate Christ as King Sunday, we're reminded that Jesus lives and reigns in heaven. Lives and reigns supreme in heaven. So what is our inheritance as Christian believers? First, once we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we inherit something. We inherit, we don't have to worry about it. We inherit the gift of eternal life. We inherit the gift of eternal life from Jesus Christ. Once we accept him, that's our inheritance. Oh, and then the first point I'd like to make, for example, is that our inheritance in Christ is imperishable. It cannot perish. It will not decay. What we have in Christ is not subject to corruption or decay. Those are one of those scriptures that we preach at the times of funeral. We says it is, you know, you take off the perishable and you put on the imperishability. And we said, that where is your sting? It cannot be decayed. God, Jesus Christ, died on the cross, rose from the dead, and lives victorious in heaven, and reigns as King, and give us an inheritance. We are the children of God. We are believers in Jesus Christ, and we will inherit the kingdom with him. Number two, our inheritance in Christ is unspoiled. It cannot be spoiled. It won't get bad. What we have in Christ is free from anything that would deform, debase, or degrade it. He doesn't like when you take something out of the fridge and after a few days it gets bad. Our inheritance is sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Sealed in heaven. Sealed and covered by the blood of Jesus. It doesn't decay and it does not get bad. And we can bank on that. Third, our inheritance in Christ is unfading. What we have in Christ is an enduring possession. And I told him earlier, and for those of us who are a little bit older here today, about Woolworths. You remember Woolworths stores? Now we have Walmart, but when I grew up in Jamaica, it was Woolworths. And I would save up my little pennies, and I would go to Woolworths, and I think I'm buying a great piece of jewelry or something, and I'd purchase a little ring. This little ring, it looked so shiny and so marvelous with my few pennies, huh? My few little Jamaican pennies, not worth it much. And then I would put it on, I'd feel so great because I have this wonderful thing that I thought would last forever. Would last, and you all are smiling, you know what I'm talking about with Woolworths, right? Would last forever. And then like a week later, a couple of weeks, I'd start becoming green. Right around where my ring was would become green. And all the little shiny gold in it was fading away. It was all gone because it was just for a moment. Our inheritance in Christ cannot fade. Will not tarnish. Will not, you remember Matthew says, because where our treasure is where our heart is, that we, some of us are putting our treasure here on earth, where moth and so on will destroy instead of putting it in heaven, will not fade. It remains forever. Our inheritance in Christ is reserved. Have you ever gone to a place and they have little things on the seat and they say reserved, right? Reserved for the pastor. Some church has parking reserved for the pastor, have you seen? And then they have reserved for the visitors. And you come, that means you can't sit there, right? Because it's reserved. Well, friends, let me tell you, one of our inheritances reserved. That means once we accept Christ and we are following Christ and we are serving Christ, our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the scripture says. And it's reserved for us. You can't take my slot, friends. And I can't take your slot. My slot is reserved for me until my time that I get there. And that's enough to say amen and thank you, Lord. Our inheritance has been reserved for us. My seat is reserved for me in heaven, and yours is. And so that's the inheritance God, Jesus, was welcoming as he gives this parable, giving us an image of what heaven is going to be. We have an inheritance that is solid, sealed by his blood, that when he said it is finished on the cross, when Christ the King said it was finished, he was speaking about a job that was completed, and that we would have an inheritance that would last for eternity. And so we see Apostle Paul, reminding the church in Ephesus about this inheritance. He too would speak about it. He would say, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, that are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints. He was reminding us that, listen, you know, this is Paul at Ephesus reminding the church that your inheritance is sealed. Sealed in Christ. Sealed forever and ever and ever. Now, that's the good news for us. That we don't have to worry about our inheritance disappearing. Right? There's nobody fighting over the heavenly will. There is no will that we could fight and says, no, this is mine and this is not yours. It's all done. It's a divine seal on that will. Isn't that glorious? That I don't have to worry, run around and worry that I can't get in. Because Ricky's going to get in and there's no spot for me. Huh? You know, I can't. He says he's Team Jesus. I just saw his shirt. He's Team Jesus. And I'm not wearing my shirt, but I'm Team Jesus too. Praise the Lord, right? And so our inheritance is here. But because of that, because we know that we have this heavenly inheritance, guess what? We are expected to do something. And look at this text. This is amazing little text that Jesus would leave. It comes towards the end of Matthew's Gospel. We are expected to do what? To serve. We don't have to work for our soul salvation. We have been redeemed. Right? It's been locked away. You know, no lawyer can show up and change our inheritance. It's sealed. So we are expected to serve. And so the Lord said, when he said to the gentleman, as I break this text down, he says, come, enter. Come and receive your inheritance. And why? Why should you receive your inheritance? Why? He didn't say because you sing so beautifully and you play so beautifully I was going to call her Helen because I'm looking at Nancy, I know it's Nancy, so beautifully as Nancy does, right? Or can preach like Paul, or could read the gospel the best way. He says, no, that's not what it is. He's expecting us to do that. He says what? Because I was hungry and you fed me. Huh? He says, you did. I was hungry and you fed me. I was in prison, huh? And you came to visit me. You came and see about me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was... Right? I was sick and you visited me. You did something for somebody else. Huh? You did it. And the guy said, the person, man or woman says, when did I see you all of that? Jesus, when were you naked and I saw you? Jesus, you were never hungry. When were you hungry and I fed you? Huh? When were you in prison, Jesus, and I saw you? Did I see you, Jesus? I don't remember seeing you. And he says, when you do it unto the least of them, you do it unto me. When you do it unto the least of them, friends. It's so important to remember that. That we who are Christian believers are held to an ideal. An ideal of service. to serve God. You see, like it or not, judgment is a fact of life. You know, that is true. Whether we are talking about the histories of judgment or not, judgment is a fact of life. If we are immoral, we are judged. If we are moral, we are judged. If we break the law, we are judged. Judgment is a fact of life. And in heaven, we are going to be judged. What is going to happen when you and I stand before God? Are you concerned? No, we don't have to be that concerned because the word is here for us. That means we should what? We should serve with joy. Serve with kindness. Yesterday I went to see the movie Wanda. You heard the movie Wanda? You should go see it if you can. Wanda with Julia Roberts and Owen Wilson, I believe. And it's about a boy who was born with his face deformed. True story. Right? And then he had to go to school in the fifth grade or whatever grade, and then had to bring those kids to be kind, to show him kindness. And in that movie, there was the teacher in one of the class would ask the kids about precepts. And a precept is like you could have a moral precept, right? Something that you are expected to do. And he asked this young lady the word, and she said, he says, give us a precept. And he says, when given the choice between being right or kind, choose kind. One of the priests, when given the choice to be right or kind, choose kind. That means when we're serving folks, right? When we're serving people, it's not always the rules. The rules may be right. But if that's the choice of serving someone in love and compassion and forgetting the rules at times, choose being kind. This is what Jesus was saying. Choose being kind to that person. Spend the time to be kind. Because as the scripture tells us, the Lord expects us to serve. He says, go away from me, those of you who didn't get it right. Because you did not come see about me. You did not see about the sick. You did not see about the rich. Now we have got to get this right. Because I just told you that we have an inheritance. That we are going to get to heaven, folks. It's a promise to us. God is not a man that he should lie, or the Son of Man that he should repent. So we're going to get to heaven if we accept Christ and follow him. We are getting in. But somehow he's going to expect us to be able to do something, to serve with compassion. So we don't have to spend our time worrying about our salvation. But we have got to work out our soul salvation with fear and trembling. So I'd like to suggest 3 points from this parable this morning. Number one, we are to view each individual as if they are Christ. We have to view every person we see, dirty, clean, black, white, yellow, tangerine, poor, rich, male, female, gay, straight. We're not have to have a debate when we are meeting people and serving them. Serve them when we meet them as if we're serving Christ, because we are. We're serving that Christ in them. We are to view each individual as if they are Christ. And then serve them in that way. So when anger comes in our heart or something, we must say to ourselves, would I have done this to Christ if he was here? Would I have done it to Christ if he was here? One must ask. Number two, the end criteria will be simple acts of kindness. This is what the Lord is leaving. The end criteria is simple acts of kindness. Not even big major thing. Jesus didn't even say you have to buy them a house or a car. You could if you will. But he didn't even say that, or a mink coat. No, he says when they were hungry, you fed them. It is a privilege to serve God's people. It is a privilege when God touches our heart, right? And tells us, put in our spirit to serve. It is mean that the Holy Spirit of God is working in us and convicting us to go do something for somebody else. And it should be an honor, because God wants to be in relationship with us when he's speaking to us. Do it as an act of kindness. Number three, we are judged by the good we do not do. We are judged by the good that we do not do. The things that are good that we do not do, that's how we are judged. And so, friends, we should be mindful of that. This text, this end time text of the end time that is in Matthew reminds us. And since you and I don't have to worry about our inheritance, right? You know, my daughter says she doesn't have to worry about her inheritance because she believes she's an only child. And then whatever I'm gone, whatever I have is hers. And I want to say to her, she may just get surprised, right? You know what I'm saying? She may get a big surprise because all of it might have been gone on trips and gone somewhere. I may be giving all of it to the church. She'll be looking and they'll be reading the will and I'll say, God bless her. And that'll be the line in the will, right? You never know. But for us, because, you know, I am not God and I am, you know, I'm full of my faults. So I may just be showing her something and she's not quite nice to me. You see what I'm saying? But not Jesus. Are you with me, friends? Not Jesus. Different standard than mine. You know, because there are people who take people out of the will, out of the inheritance in a heartbeat. You know that. You don't take care of them or do something, they say, you're no longer in the will. And they hold it over your head. Right? You want me to... I would say that to my daughter. I'm not that perfect. I'm working on it. She don't take care of me when I'm old and, you know, little hair growing in my face or something and I need them to be plucked out and she doesn't take care of me and I look bad. I may just say, you can't get anything. But not Jesus. What a Savior on this Christ the King Sunday. To remind us that once He died and He paid the price, and He was ransomed for our sins. There's no going back. He's not an Indian giver. Oh, glory to God this morning. He just reminded me that by the Holy Spirit. He's not an Indian giver. You know what's an Indian giver, right? Somebody who gives something and take it back, right? Jesus is not an Indian giver. Once He gives you that inheritance, salvation is yours. Heaven becomes a free gift. It's yours forever and ever and ever. Oh, praise the Lord. Thanks be to God for that. And so we should be busy serving the Lord. Busy doing acts of kindness. Simple acts of kindness. During this season of Thanksgiving and Christmas, there are many people who want to hear about Jesus, but there are many people who are lonely. Suicide rate is the highest it is during this period. People get lonely. People get sad, they remember their loved ones, they have nobody to turn to. Statistics have proven. It's our task to step out of our comfort zone and remind somebody that Jesus loves them. Oh yes, you could come get some food at our church. Yes, you could come to service. Yes, you could come here and talk to someone. It's a special time. The people have nobody to hold their hands, nobody to buy them a gift. But the Church of Jesus Christ is here. The doors of the church are open to welcome all who will may come. Come to know that God loves them so much that He would lay His life down for them. For you and for me and for them. That's our humble service, friends. And let's do it with honor and glory and thanksgiving. Let's not get our back up when we have to serve in the church. Let's say, thank God that I'm alive and I can serve Him. Let's do it with joy and stop complaining. Let's be like Father Fagara, who's lost his whole family to cancer, but is so thankful to God that God has spared his life at this moment and that he could continue to serve. Let's be like that man who doesn't know what's going to happen next, but God has spared his life. And so he serves with joy. The people you ask to serve and they get their back up and they roll their eyes. Remember, when you do it, you're not doing it unto the person who's standing before you. You're doing it unto the Lord. The one who will remember all of what we have done for him. He already welcomes us and all he's asking us to do is to serve him. He's Christ the King. He's King of Kings, as we're going to be singing, Lord of Lords. He's the conquering Lion of Judah. Oh, glory to God. He reigns, the songwriter says. He reigns and he reigns forevermore. Reign on, King Jesus. Reign on, King Jesus. Our Savior reigns forevermore. And we will reign with him when our time comes. Amen.
Amen. Amen.